Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Back, it's season 11, episode 2, titled The Ultimate Betrayal. This is Vanderpodcalypse Now. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Jason.
And we're back in it. We're in the trenches. We're in the thick of things. It feels good. Or does it?
We're another episode in. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're just starting to scratch the surface.
Just getting into things. They tried a big swing in episode 1. I've talked to a lot of people about it, about their expectations and their thoughts on it. I would say it's not my it wasn't my favorite because it just felt like, again, how do you really start this season? Like, there's so many expectations around it. There's so much. It's so charged. So I think I'm being unfair. I think it actually was a pretty good episode. Looking back now on episode 2, and who am I to say?
Just because they've been doing it for so long and the stakes, I feel, are as high as they possibly can be. They know what they're doing. They know mm-hmm. what they have, mm-hmm. and they know how they need to parse it out. So part of me is just trusting the process.
Yeah, but then we've trusted the process in past seasons, and it's been overproduced, dumb fucking theme party bullshit. So it is. I'm fragile.
Well, we got the opposite of a theme party.
Oh, this one. Yeah, we did. Woo! Oh, boy. If the theme was quiet desperation, sobriety, and birthday party baby balloons.
Igloo cooler in the middle of the floor.
Just random fucking strangers, one of which I want to talk about because I fucking love those extras that are just Tom's employees. Whatever. We're going to get there. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's just start from the beginning where it all started, back at the theme song and the intro. Again, still can't get over Lisa's tits. There's no drinks. No drinks spilled, no objects thrown. I'm still getting used to it. I feel a little bit cheated and robbed, but I will get used to it.
I think they're just more sophisticated now. They don't spill their drinks after 10, 11
years. No, no, I don't like it. I don't like it. I want a shaky hand. You guys should all have Jax Taylor shaky hands, cokey noses. Come on. Anyway, someone else said that I got very heated when they were listening to this episode or the last episode, and that's true. I'm going to get heated again. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen
more
probably
heat.
every time.
This is hot. It's hot in the jungle. You know what I mean? It's hot in this.
That's
the
right.
War zone. You know
it's
what I mean?
Exactly. We're all war torn, and so that's what you should come here expecting. We begin our journey at the NoHo Arts District, as evidenced by
B-roll. I love seeing that. It's like where I do stand up.
NoHo, exactly, but not really because we're actually in Valley Village, which is Tom and Ariana's house. It's different than NoHo. Just to make that distinction for you, Valley.
We get a little elitist when it comes to the lines of where neighborhoods are.
Lines what drawn. Are as we should. This is our territory. Get it right. Get it right, Bravo. Are you familiar with Los Angeles?
They're like, we don't care. We'll just say what we want.
No, here's Echo Park Lake. Where are we? Palisades? Cool. Yeah. Anyway, Ariana's room is still disgusting. It is a disgusting hoarder's nightmare. And it seems it's just a very messy, insane place that why would anyone want to be there? Someone else talked about maybe she just stores stuff there, but I don't care.
She also probably does a lot where she's like in town for a short amount of time.
I don't care. What? Come the fuck on. She's and Tom's room, we'll get there too. Holy shit, you guys are depressed. And I get it. You should be depressed. You're in a depressed state. Ariana's also, like, she's styling herself. She's wearing biker shorts and a white blazer to do what? A lot. But, like, it's such a truly LA outfit where it's totally functional and non-functional at the same time. Like, a pristine white blazer and bike shorts. Are you, I'm like, you're going to a sound bath. I get it. It's very, whatever. LA outfits know no conventional social bounds. You should see what I'm wearing right now. Actually, don't. Anyway, Tom's room, the shit brown comforter is, it's so surprising to me that it's Tom's. Mr. Extra, I would expect more from him than like a shitty, like 90s
it's like a
college.
It's like a starter college.
Yeah. It's like you are going through a divorce. You're a divorced dad, but you're not divorced or a dad. You're just a guy.
I almost believe that you don't sleep there, or if you do, it's just because I've been here, it's late, and it's too late for me to go back to where I really sleep.
Yeah.
So I'll just sleep.
Right here. Right in this fucking literally feces-colored comfort. I couldn't think of an uglier color. And this is Tom, who loves stilts and sparkles and, like, all this other bullshit. What do you do?
If his hairstyle says anything, I think he's trying to keep it low-key. That's the one thing I said. I was like, normal hair. Normal, pretty chill hairstyle for him.
This is Tom's grounded season. Fuck you. His luggage is there, though. He's home, people. And he's walking around with a book. He walks out of his bed, the bedroom area, with a book. I couldn't see the title. I really want to know what it was. What does Tom Sandoval read?
It's something empowering, for sure.
Absolutely. So he meets friend of the podcast, Ann Maddox, in the kitchen. She's working. She's there.
It's so cool. I was thinking, we know so many people from the comedy scene and the entertainment scene. And we've seen them in various things, big and small. Seeing someone like Anne in something like this is so much cooler So you see people in movies that are like nominated for Emmys and Oscars that you know and that you work with. And that's great and stuff like that. But there's something about this that is so cool and personal and interesting. And it's not for those other people. It's just for us.
I know. That's why it's so special. And also, the charm of Vanderpump is these very dark and strange specifics that happen that revolve around these people's lives. And she's thrown into the thick of things. She's in the, not even in the orbit. She's literally in the house at the epicenter of what we've all been talking about. And the little details, because these, again, these aren't like fucking Tom Cruise's. These are people that are like working, they're Bravo celebrities, and the strangeness is what intrigues all of us.
And all this time we've been watching it, she's been there and a part of it, but just not on camera, which is interesting to think, like, oh, you were there the whole time.
She was thrust into the spotlight now, because she had to be. And she is this episode. The most noteworthy things happening in this episode are her.
They love her on the Vanderpump Reddit.
Yeah, absolutely. As they should. So she's working. She asked about special forces. Tom Sandoval, very tough. It's very tough. Everything's tough for him. He wants to push himself through the pain.
My knees hurt. Well, I get that, but I'm also 50.
Yeah, you were also being carried by JoJo Sawa. Yeah. You were carried by everyone in that show. I didn't see you take one step on your own. You were carried by Nick Vial.
And I would say if I was there, red light therapy for the knees. That's what I throw in. My only contribution would be Dr. Horton.
Okay, excellent. So Tom tells Anne that Schwartz is going to come by, and he has bought him a pair of shoes. Whatever. I was like, I don't think a pair of shoes is going to fucking help things, sir.
It's a cool personal gift. A Buffalo Wild Wings gift card would be less personal, but still good.
Yeah, more useful to me. I don't need Tom Schwartz apology shoes. Sorry. But so Anne asks Tom if things are okay between the two Toms. And Tom Sandoval just lies and says that they are. He's like, yeah, I think so. And it's, no, we know from the last episode that things are absolutely not okay. You're even lying to your own assistant, who really probably doesn't give a shit. She's paid to be there. You can tell her anything, but you chose to lie to her. Ugh. Anyway, Sandoval was very annoyed that Schwartz went on Jax's podcast and talked shit, quote unquote, which he didn't. He just said that he felt betrayed by Tom going and touring and forgetting about the restaurant, which is,
He just said facts.
Yeah, he just said things that happened in their world.
It's the Wikipedia of whatever is happening.
Exactly. Totally nonpartisan information going to Jax's podcast. And then Tom tells, and this is very important, this interaction. Tom tells Anne that tomorrow is his birthday. And she, in return, politely wishes him a happy birthday. She's not, tomorrow's your birthday. Tom, tomorrow's my, he's a fucking 45-year-old man reminding his assistant that it's his birthday. And she, in turn, says, Happy birthday.
It's not even the birthday yet.
It's like, great. And this is the run of Tom basically pretending everyone who works for him is his friend. It is so fucking dark and very funny.
I don't think I've ever been necessarily depressed. It's easy and anything can mm-hmm. depress me. It's, you know what I mean? That's just the vibe.
Yeah.
But I've never been depressed. I've been like, I was like, this is depressing. You say it in an ironic way, but I've never actually gotten depressed until this episode where I literally,
it's very depressing.
Turned on a switch and it reminded, real quick, because this is what I was thinking of. Ricky Gervais had a show, mm-hmm. One of his many shows. It was called Life on the Road, and it's where – it's sort of a unofficial continuation of The Office where he's mm-hmm. a salesman, but he gets money, and then he decides to spend the money to record an album and go on tour.
Also, you don't have to be quick. You can be as long as you want. This is our podcast.
Oh, right. I mean, people want to hear about this. But where he essentially is paying people to be in his band.
Yeah.
Spoiler, he's also paying them to hang out.
Sure.
And when I watched this, I was like, oh, this is like Life on the Road with Ricky Gervais, which I love all stand-up specials now, not so much, but the shows that he's done mostly, it was almost so it was so hard to watch that show. Even for me, I was like, I don't even know if I can keep watching
this.
And
he made that show knowing that that was the effect that it was going to have.
It was going to hurt. He's like, you're going to hurt.
Classic.
This reminded me of that, but it's not even the same setting, so it makes it worse. It's not fiction.
I know. It's not someone writing this show for the desired effect of having you feel affected in some kind of way about it.
Because when Ricky Gervais has a party, he can have whoever he wants
there.
Right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? No, this is Ricky Gervais crafting a story around a character and making it dark British humor. Like, that's what it is. Tom Sandoval's just living his fucking life in a Ricky Gervais fucking shame spiral storyline.
With less charming dialogue.
Very, very much less. So he wants to have people over for his birthday that he's reminded Anne of. He tells Anne that Ariana is invited. And Anne looks at him and she's like, she'll be busy. And then Tom takes that in and is like, huh. Then he suggests he could get Ariana a nice hotel room. Maybe she'd want to stay in a nice hotel room.
Yeah, it's like a thing where you're trying to on paper, it's like, oh, that's really nice. But what you're doing is your status, like you're kind of throwing that at like mm-hmm. where you're, you know, I'll do, you know what I mean? I'll even do that for her.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you, it's bad. That's the thing. That's the vibe that he's putting out. And it's the wrong shit. It's just wrong. And it's just further infuriating everyone around you.
I have a question. Now, does Ariana have also, I don't know if she does in, on the show, does she have an assistant?
I don't think she does.
I don't know if she does. Yeah, I don't know. Because it seems like she's not both of their assistants, but mm-hmm. she is definitely the go-between.
Yeah.
But she's also, I don't know, it just seems like she's also working. I don't know what the thing. I know she likes her and all that kind of, which she should. I was just curious what the dynamic was.
Well,
with
we're
that.
Definitely going to ask her this when we get her on the podcast, which we're figuring out right now. Yeah. But I, in my mind, what kind of happened and how this kind of evolved was Anne was Tom's assistant first and foremost, but because she has been with them for a couple years, like a year and a half, I don't think it's more than 2 years at this point. Tom would have her do things for Ariana. The lines became a little bit blurred.
Sure.
And then when they broke up, she had that relationship with kind of both of them. But of course, she doesn't work for Ariana. I think Ariana's conscientious enough to be like, you don't work for me. But she's in both their spaces now. She has to interact with both of them because that's Tom's will of a thing, I think. I mean, again, we're going to get some clarity.
That sounds right. Yeah.
But I feel like it's horrifically messy and complicated and honestly incredibly manipulative and fucked up. Anyway, so this starts this horrific back and forth between Tom and Ariana via Anne. Again, poor Anne. Everyone's talking about it on the internet. Everyone's has – their heart goes out to Anne collectively. But Ariana's leaving to take Maya out for a walk in her outfit. Maya's very cute. But again, the things this dog has seen, holy shit. A producer asks Tom, I believe, what it's like to have to share a space with your ex. Ariana's talking head said stupid. Tom says awkward. Tom talks about – or sorry, Ariana, I think, talks about how Tom has opened her mail, felony, and how he got a white noise machine because the things that he was saying with his friends were being overheard by her and her friends. It's so fucked up.
Interesting CIA-like.
So fucked. I'm going to put a little white. It's a depressing little tiny Amazon white noise machine in the hallway so that her friends and her don't overhear the shit that he says.
There's got to be a more succinct, a more reason, a better way to not be heard, because we don't just – all just don't throw white noise machines around.
No, there's a better way to be both of them. This is like a fucking nightmare. And the hard thing is, too, it's not even that fun to watch. I want them to fight. If they're in the same house, I would rather just see them go at it versus like, see this poor woman being tortured between them.
Probably being saved if and when that happens.
Yeah, I hope she makes $350,000 a year. I hope Anne is making a ton of money doing this. Sorry, that's the cops. There's a siren.
Listen, I'm telling you, this is a war. We're at war, mm-hmm. people.
That's right.
You know
we're in the
mean?
Trenches. We're doing the good work for our country. Our country is Bravo.
Yeah.
And our state is VPR.
Yes.
So I'm
And
very
we're both
proud.
Citizens and we both vote.
That's every election we vote. Absolutely. Can't miss it. So Ariana comes downstairs and Anne asks her, you've all seen this clip because this is the clip that they show, if Tom can have a birthday party and she could get Ariana a hotel room. Ariana shuts this down. If people are making noise, she says very confidently, I will call the cops. And
which
it's just,
you can't do.
No, he's on the, he's not trespassing.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the other people might be. And I want to, again, I want to see it. All right, let's see it. If it's going to happen, let's see it. But Anna's just nodding at this. She's just, she's taking it. She's like taking
deep
breaths.
She does that look
breaths.
Like, oh, this, I'm used to this kind of behavior from you.
I'm anticipating this reaction, but I have to do it because this is my job. And I'm just here in existing in this space until this is over. And Anne tells Ariana Jason is coming to hang out with Tom in the short term. Ariana says, I'm going to keep existing the way that I normally do. And Anne's like, God, kill me. When do I get to clock out? Never?
No, if you're an assistant, I'd probably never, right?
Never. She's got that famous pull quote that I think some outlet is using. It says, bitch, I don't work on Saturdays. Yeah. But I'm sure you kind of do. You kind of do. We all.
And people do that in their regular jobs where they bleed over.
I have no boundaries in my job, and as someone's assistant too, you're just trying to be an assistant, be like a good assistant, be supportive of them. Well, that's all kind of a part of it, unfortunately. And again, I hope she's making $500,000 doing this. She ought to be.
I hope it's more. Well, look at me.
Wow. Okay. Fine. I'm an asshole. Okay, so then we go to Lisa's. She's getting her hair done by some dude for the pump closing party. Very sad. And I hope someone puts some kind of antifrizz in Lisa's hair. It's been 10-15 years of me looking at her hair not being like properly shined. It's always been kind of puffy and frizzy. And I'm hoping that someone does something. LA's not humid. There's no reason for this to be this way. It's a call to action for Lisa and the people around Lisa. She doesn't have to live with this way with her hair being like puffy and frizzy. Sleek, shine it up, defrizz it. Would you? A little spray even could help with that. That's just me. Meanwhile, in Burbank, James is still so happy. He lives in quiet Burbank. He's walking on Burbank Promenade with Allie, and they are matching. She's in a pleated skirt bikini combo. James is in the matching shorts. They talk about getting a dog. This is when James brings up Graham, that he doesn't know where Graham is. Somehow, though, James is revisiting history as if they had this special bond, him and Graham. That he's heartbroken, that they were together. Our bond was deniable, undeniable, unbreakable, and it's all absolutely insane. Like,
you think he's just...
Oh, yeah, you can take what you want from Raquel's podcast, and you can take what you want from the reality of what you've seen on TV about James. They all match perfectly in that James is a fuck. Like, he does not know how to take care of things, I would say. And again, I know he's getting better, I know he's on a path, and I generally believe that. He probably meant well, but the dog had behavioral issues from the beginning. The dog was like biting
people. He's like a role model in this season.
Yeah, I know. It's like aspirational. That's not James. He's talking about he can't make the pump party because he's DJing in Chicago. And also, you're going to get a dog, and like how, if you're always leaving, who's going to take care of that dog? Also, that geriatric tabby cat. What about her? Doesn't she have a say in this or no? God. Anyway, we're back to Tom Sandoval's fucking domain. He's in his home gym, his tiny home gym, and Jason is there. Jason's lower third is Tom's friend, but actually we find out that it's his band manager. Again, it's his employee. It is not his friend.
That's the first thing I said was, and I like to think that maybe they are friends. You know what I mean? They are. I like to pretend.
I'm making a face.
Yeah, I like to pretend that that's the thing. But it's as soon as I seen it, I was just like, oh, so you're – it's not even an employee. It's not even like a fellow employee. It's somebody you normally pay.
Yeah. It's your band's manager. Your band, a big thing right now. This is the guy who you pay to get you dates and
facilitate all that
PR and all. Yeah. This is your other employee. And then Tom asks him if he wants some crushed ice.
Is that flex? Because I feel like Anne was going to get that for them, right?
Exactly.
Like, oh, Anne will crush this. Listen, if you got crushed ice, I want crushed ice.
Sure, sure. I mean,
don't give me no cubes.
No. What do you, this is, I want hospital style care. I want crushed fucking ice. But then we get his little bio package that, again, not his friend, his fucking manager. Then Jason asks Tom Sandoval if he's heard from Raquel. Tom says that he misses her, that he is still in love with her, which is bullshit.
Do you think that time-wise, you don't think any of that tracks?
No. He was fucking – I think there were lots of blind items about him having sex with other people around this time. He said that he just wanted to give our relationship a real chance. And it's just like you're a liar. You are fucking people. You never loved her. Do you remember that scene where she said that she loved – it was like so – it's he just leaning into this thing to make himself seem better and to make himself seem like he actually did want to pursue a relationship with her because it makes him look better. It makes him look like not such a piece of shit.
I have a question.
For me?
For you. Mm. And for anyone listening, all six of you. If Raquel was on the show, where do you think you'd see her at this point and who with? Her family?
With Tom.
Yeah, I think maybe Lala.
I think maybe Lala at this point. Yeah. Lala, you know.
I'm trying to think like where she would even fit in by episode two.
Well, she would go to Lisa's, I think.
Yeah.
We would have her make
kinda
her
rehash the
her trip, right? Her go to kiss the ring at Lisa's. She'd go by the swans. She'd go through the big glass door. She'd have a bouquet. Yeah. And then I think slowly but surely, of course, you know, you get a little bit of, not Sheena because the assault charge, but you get a little bit of Lala. You get a little bit of maybe a Billy Lee. You know, you get some people who are in the periphery that might be open. Maybe a Peter. Maybe we see them talking about what has transpired.
Okay.
I think.
I'm just seeing what you would, where that would be, because that could have been a thing that would be happening now if things were different. I'm just curious like where that would she'd fall in.
I think so. I don't know.
Great.
I don't know. I wish I knew, but I don't. Anyway, so we're back to Tom Sandoval. Anne said that Ariana said no for the party. Then they start wheeling and dealing. It's like Anna's existing moment to moment in this hell house of absolute misery. They're back and forth. She may have to call the police. Can we have this everyone out at midnight? Whatever. She sends a text very quick, and then he changes his mind. She's already sent it.
Should I have fast thumbs?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Well, if I had an assistant, I'd want them to have fast thumbs.
Yeah, she's doing her fucking job.
Yeah. You don't deserve her.
No. And then, again, there's a lot of Madame Web VPR crossover ads that I refuse to talk about. It's so – they're so – just like the Argyle. They're so insane. I can't even – they make no sense. Anyway, we're back. And Lala,
but maybe try inviting us to some of those
– yeah.
You know what I mean?
You want them to make sense to us?
Yeah.
Have us be there physically.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we go to commercial. We're back. And Lala and Ariana are at a cute smoothie place called What a Peach in Studio City. I looked it up. They talk about Tom's party, and Lala said, devil's advocate, he's allowed, and Ariana says that she's allowed to call the cops. I suppose that's true. And Lala pitches her to be a little bit nicer, more reasonable.
She's a bit of a role model.
How are James and Lala the voices of reason? It makes no fucking sense to me, and I actually don't like it, because I don't really like Lala anyway. James has endeared himself to me over the years. And then Lala, wouldn't it just be easier to move out? The question we all have, of course, on our minds. Ariana says yes, but not letting him assert his dominance by buying it out is what she's staying for.
It's weird, 'cause I imagine when I was watching, I was like, it seems like, optics-wise, she's the one who's pulling in the big bucks, right?
Yeah.
As compared to – I don't know. I'm just basing it on the optics.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just seems like – I don't know. You have money moves to make.
Yeah.
Where maybe he might not have those same money moves.
No, and he doesn't. But it's pride. It's fucking pride, which I get it too. She's got a right to feel pissed off and be like, fuck you. You don't get anything you want now. you blew up my life, which I get, but I also, you wouldn't want to be around this person. You just, why do you want to be around this person? Is it really worth it to you? Because as Lala points out, which I think is right, Lala's correct, he's getting off on making her feel uncomfortable. I think that's a very Tom Sandoval move, and I think that's what he's doing. Ariana says, Tom wants to buy me out. He offered a measly sum of money, and we find out on the Nick Vial podcast that it's $3 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but this house is gigantic. It's in Los Angeles. It's actually from what he, and this is just Nick Vial's podcast, what he followed up with after his interview with the Toms, it's actually undervalued for that house. So it's not that much money. So he's trying to fucking get a deal. He's trying to fucking get a deal from his ex that he fucking cheated on and fucked her and his best friend.
So he's got a nice investment property.
Yeah, exactly. And then Lala asks, what does Dan think? Ariana says, he's ready for me to move out. Makes sense. You mean your current boyfriend's not happy that you're living with your fucking ex-boyfriend? Interesting. And Ariana also, interestingly enough, says he's the first person that she thinks that maybe he could have kids. She could be a parent with. They could be parents together. She says, Tom being my partner affected my feeling on having kids, which is actually very fucked up given people and their choices to have kids or not have kids. This kind of is a bad model because, oh, you find the right partner, you want kids. It's actually damaging. I was offended by this thing. But again, in her specific space, it's okay. I respect the fact that you feel this way. Dan just turned 40. He has not been married. He has no kids himself. Lala says her nipples get hard at that. And I was like, bullshit. No, your nipples only get hard if the dude is 50 plus with five secret families. This is not making your nipples hard. I promise you. You met your fucking ex-fiance at Christmas at Sir. This is boring to you. All your fucking guards are up with this guy. Come on. So then we're at the pump goodbye party. I don't even know what you call it, like farewell.
I only been to Pump once. You're more.
I love Pump.
Yeah, you're more of a Pump.
I like it. I'm a Pump head for sure.
I always think of Pump is really just a place for brunch. I never think of it as a night.
I've never been for brunch. It's a fun. It's like of all the Vanderpump properties, it's the only place where I'm like, oh, you can go here and just have a drink, and it doesn't seem like weird. They're not pressuring you to like sit down and eat four courses for like $200 to me. So like, and it feels more of a WeHo party vibe. It's, again, it's fucking the middle of a very fun part of Los Angeles. So you dip in and out, grab drinks, you know, home of the Pumptini. They didn't originate the Pumptini at Sir. So I think I had some potato salad there. Lisa's famous potato salad there one time. But I
get the recipe.
Yeah, I'll write her. I'll DM her. Anyway, but Lisa's there. Again, her tits are out.
Yeah.
She's got real tits and Queen Elizabeth hat
vibes.
That's her brand. I was just like, oh, my head is scrambling. Are you my great grandmother? Are you like a sexy cougar? Both. Lisa's both. Lisa contains multitudes. Then we have this very long Pump package with the cast and all the things that they've done at Pump. As if we care about Pump. As if we really care. Villa Blanca. We don't care about the restaurant.
And this is from the Vanderpump Reddit, that there was about why it was like extending the lease. And then the owners were like, hey, we were willing to work with her. It's two different stories of why it didn't work out. And then some of the other people, the landlords or whatever you want to say, have this big fraud case. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I don't know. I just saw there was a lot of back and forth on like why really. But then also she's like, Ken doesn't, you know, it's another 10-year bid to keep it going.
Exactly. Also, there's a giant class action lawsuit against Lisa.
Right.
Ken.
Yeah. So I think there's different things happening.
Yeah. We're never going to know the real story. Lisa would sooner burn the place down than have us know what actually is happening.
But she opens up new places, so it's not too many places.
Yeah. She wants to...
new and shiny. I get it.
Sure. So they're all at Pump, whatever. The first scene in this Pump pack, this Pump montage, is a tree coming down via crane, which was a funny thing to add. Lisa's underneath, she's guiding a tree on a crane. That's the first thing of their, like, their very heartfelt, nostalgic...
Remember the tree?
The tree that we put in the cement jungle. Remember? It all started here. Very funny. People are arriving. Sheena and Lala in...
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Femme body, pink and purple outfit, Katie and Tom. Tom looks like a fucking Glendale real estate agent. I can't. Tom, you think Tom Sandoval's depressed? Tom Schwartz is depressed. Horrifyingly depressed. Debilitating. Safety check this man depressed. Look at his suit. Look at his fucking suit. I can't. I was like, I hate him. But Ariana shows up. Schwartz, though, is trying his hand at bartending. Another little throwback to fucking 10 years ago.
We did that with one episode once.
Fucking come on. And again, it's a very iconic Schwartz personality trait that he literally doesn't work and he fails upward every chance he gets. So like, I admire that they're like, oh, it's like one last time. Pump's closing. But also, he's bad at this, too. He's back. Having a 5-minute shift every 10 years is actually like pretty impressive. Fumbling behind the bar, you're getting in the other bartender's way right now. You're just in your shit suit.
But you also own, like, you haven't improved at it, but you have other, you got Tom Tom and mm-hmm. Schwartz and Sandy's. Nothing by osmosis.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Don't even look at, he doesn't even know what a point of sale looks like. I don't even know what an iPad is. He just doesn't. Whatever. So that Schwartz comes by to talk to Lisa. The girls leave. James talks to Schwartz and Lisa. Lisa asks about Schwartz and Sandy's. Schwartz says it's a shit show. But wasn't it always what's new? He's like, oh, Schwartz is not good. Tom Sandoval. But it's always been.
We've been there how many times?
Four? A haunted place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always been haunted by the fucking demons of fucking poo-poo town. It's never going to be a good place. It's doomed.
Start by changing the menu.
Start by level. Let's just fucking raise the place at this point. Then we have a talking head where Tom Schwartz has asked Tom Sandoval to step away from Schwartz and Sandy's because he didn't help weathering the storm at all. And there's a lot of resentment there, I think. Again, resentment from someone who doesn't do anything to begin with is an interesting place to be. But I will say, for all Tom Schwartz's faults, he really does take ownership of Schwartz and Sandy's. So I think it was maybe like an ego, like a hit to, like, he's been branded, packaged with this person, and he's
probably part of
doing the best he can.
Part of the ending of his marriage.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's all bound up in it itself. So Schwartz has got to do some soul searching, maybe go to Taylor or take a shower. I don't know. One of these things. Try one of these things out. Then Brock and Sheena are at the recording studio with Zach and Kevin. Kevin's the guitarist. Sorry, it's so hard to read. It's so insane. The guitarist of the 27s.
Now, I don't know anything about them. I'm a bit of a music snob. They look like there was a wardrobe person with clothes on a rack.
Yeah.
And then they put those clothes on to be like, here are your rock clothes. I don't know why. It just, something about it just looks so like an ad, or if a Disney show had, this is your rocker outfit.
Totally.
It's like these layers. There's like nothing. I don't know anything about this band. I'm sure they're great guys. I'm sure it's a wonderful band.
You're going to find they're alt-right in a couple years on Reddit, I think. No, I think that someone at Vanderpump, they went into casting. They were like, we need two guys. And they're like, all right, we're going to cast two guys. And they're like, all right, we're going to need them for this studio session and also for emo night. We got to dress them. We got to style them differently. They're going to have to look very, like, relaxed and sweaty, but white. White, yeah. White as snow.
One,
you know?
With hat, one without hat, please.
Yeah, please, please. One with a little more bangs. But they're both going to be white and a little bit dumpy. So can you do that for us?
They're like, I wonder absolutely. If they're called the 27s because of, like, the 27 Club. Or are they not
That's so lame. It's fucking lame. It's 27 Club. No, it's very Affliction t-shirt. Mm-hmm. It's very the back of Bordner's. There's a bar in Hollywood that is very cool in and of itself, but it has this like fake BDSM club in the back that has a cool Instagram with high fedoras and lashes and black lipstick. It's very like, up its own asshole. But we have this hard version of Good as Gold playing in the background, which, again, one take wonder. Sheena talks about DJing with Katie and Ariana. You get together with your friends. You listen to she calls it the emo music.
That's, are you a cop?
Oof, you are a cop. You're going to arrest me. Nothing about Sheena is emo at all.
Nothing about anything they've done was like, this is emo at all.
No. Like, I would say Ariana is the closest to being emo because she's clinically depressed.
Yeah.
But other than that, she's like a gorgeous. It's what do you? I mean, you own a horse, or you did. It's not emo. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so she's recording a good as gold emo screamo.
Yeah.
The way that she says that is believable.
I'm also reminded of that music video, which I forgot. And I looked at it again. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, my God. It's fucking amazing. It's
that with Brett? Was that Brett?
Yeah, with yeah. Brett. Sheena looks very different. The music video is – it's like – oh, my God. I have some notes. It's like worse than a student film. It makes porno look like Oppenheimer.
But it's also – isn't it in black and white, so it is like Oppenheimer.
It's like our Oppenheimers. This is fucking Brett simulating doggy style
like
Sheena.
Remember this old CK1 where it's like black and white and like X-y.
Yeah. It's – if that – it's like the multiplicity version of that in a fucking Twilight Zone
– Christopher
Bad
Nolan.
Girls Club. It's very 2000. I don't even know what we're looking. It's just I fugue stated it out of my head. It's so bad. It's so bad. Also, Sheena, again, she looks very different. It's just like a very whatever. But to her credit, she was like, after that, she said, I should not.
Oh
be
yeah, no
music.
Self-awareness, which I always appreciate, you know? And it's endearing.
She said she wanted to move on, but then again, she was like, let's do this. Everyone does love Good as Gold, and it's a fucking great song.
Yeah.
No, it's a wonderful song. It should be on vinyl. She says, everyone loves a reunion tour. So then they switch gears and they talk about how Sheena has postpartum OCD, too, which is kind of a shift from this screamo one take Brock in the corner being like, yeah, it's what I hear at home all the time. I was like, why are you here? But he is very supportive of her, which, again, was endearing, even though he's got a secret family back in Australia and has some
it's not even
criminality.
A secret.
It's a family. Yeah. It's just a family.
Yeah. Was a secret. Australia. Now it's just a family.
Anyway, so they talk about how it took her almost a year to do anything alone with her daughter. This is very sweet. She won't let anyone watch Summer. She is starting, though, with people watching Summer with a young girl named Tori. Just a preteen named Tori. Just some girl that she knows. And so...
Who is an actor and is into music. And she's willing to give that a break.
She does... Yeah,
maybe she's... I don't know. Maybe it's really good.
She's putting that aside to be a nanny now.
Yeah.
So, you know what? We'll get to her. But first, we got to go to the Belmont. We've got Tom and Tom at the Belmont. They're finally
I've
meeting
done
up.
Stand-up at the Belmont.
Yeah, everyone's done something at the Belmont. The Belmont still persists.
Yeah.
The Belmont is like the cockroach of...
It's a cool place.
Fucking... Oh, yeah? It's like the reality TV epicenter. Everything is filmed at the Belmont. Tom Sandoval gives Tom Schwartz the gift of shoes, which I don't know why this is so weird. It's a shoe. It's so intimate. It's a sigh. You know, it's just weird. Shoes are like fragrances where you're like, it's so such a personal thing to know what kind of shoe someone likes. It just like rubs me the wrong way. Sandoval isn't drinking, but Schwartz is, of course, drinking fucking a light shit beer as he would. But then Tom Schwartz also says something that fires many alarms in my brain. He says, sober Tom scares me. Which I'm like, really? How bad is drunk Tom that sober Tom scares?
Yeah.
You don't like this man being sober? The things that this man has done drunk?
Or do you just want everyone to not be sober?
Yeah, you don't. You mean sober Schwartz scares you? You heard it here.
Listen, I took two psychology classes in community college. I'll sort it out.
Yeah, good. Well, Sandoval says he's not drinking because of Raquel, because she can't drink at her mental ward institution. Her spot. I don't know. I forget. He's doing it in solidarity with Raquel. Sure. And then Schwartz is flummoxed. He's, what, you become a cryptid? What the fuck? You become a cryptid?
That's a little crossover for Ghost Town.
Yeah, it is. That's where our Venn diagram, the lines intersect.
Yeah.
Exactly. They talk about special forces. Schwartz says, I wish he would have stayed and dealt with the shit at the bar. He finally says, this is as assertive as Schwartz gets.
No, I was impressed. I'm saying, telling them that people are like, their arcs are like really arcing.
Yeah. He tells Sandoval, I wish you would have come to me if you were pissed about something. You were shit talking me. He was not shit talking him. He was literally saying facts. Then the most depressing thing of tiny Brussels sprouts comes out. It's like, it's a tiny side dish of gray Brussels sprouts. And Tom says, I just wanted a snack.
Yeah, what an odd.
Snack. He's got shoes on one side of him and a tiny thing of gray Brussels sprouts on the other side. He's ready for an intervention. None of this will fix this, not Brussels sprouts or shoes. Sandoval says, you're angry. My bank account was overdrawn. Ariana didn't pay the bill. I'm not sure if Ariana paid or did not pay the bills. I can see her.
Also, Michelle.
My Michelle.
Mm-hmm. She was like, from what she remembers, they maybe have two mortgages. So who knows what? Maybe she's the one who's been paying. Like, the way he's framing it is that it's not the way that it seems. It's not that she who's literally paying it and then money contribution are two mm-hmm. different things, yeah. Making it seem like there's like, oh, she's contributing no money to it, or is she just physically not the one who's in charge of paying
Yeah. And she doesn't want to talk to you or whatever. He says when she does reach out, she does pay. So I don't fucking – Tom Sandoval's a fucking liar and a scumbag.
He's
going
to say what he's going to say to make himself the most sympathetic.
Absolutely. At any given time, he will take any opportunity.
People do that. We all do that.
We spin the narrative to make us look better, for sure. But also,
I'm 5'11". You know what I mean?
Whoa!
I know, right? That's my good.
That's up height.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't believe him. Whatever. But Schwartz still pushes the fact that he wishes Tom would have helped out, and he says all you should be saying is sorry. Do you care about the business? Doesn't seem like you did. And Sandoval does, after much prodding and a half-eaten thing of fucking Brussels sprouts, he says sorry. He says, and this is as sociopathic as this person gets, he said it would help if I could get to go to Schwartz and Sandy's, but I can't. And that's the reason you can't go in, because you're shitty, because you didn't do these things. That's why you're banned from it, because you're a liability to this business. It's not that you're banned from it that you can't help. It's not that they did this. It's not that they did this to you, Tom Sandoval. You did this to you. He's such a fucking victim. It just keeps going. It makes me so fucking angry. And then they talk about Tom's birthday tomorrow, Tom Sandoval's birthday. And Sandoval says, are you going to stick with me or what? And I'm impressed. Schwartz says, I'm going to do what's best for me. Now, he's probably also lying, but I like that he says it, because he does end up going to Sandoval's birthday.
Oh, after he got the shoes, though.
Yeah.
And the Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I got the shoes. Yeah, you know? Yeah. I got to pay back the shoes. Oh, I got to go. My friend. And we're back at Sheena and Brock's. Tori's there. 12-year-old Tori's there to watch your child. This is who you trust? This person with the pink streaks in your hair and who's got like...
She looks emo. If anyone... Yeah. The only one that looks like she could be emo.
She's won the emo contest. She has like her sweatshirt so long, or like her sweatshirt arms past her hands.
Yeah.
You know? She's very,
you gotta have the thumb holes through them.
She looks small. They're just swimming in her giant sweatshirt. Brock is making fun of Sheena's OCD and concern in this, which is not cool. Sheena says it's a big deal to bring someone in. Sheena's mom.
Which also makes it sound like a threesome. You know when you're going to bring someone in?
Yeah.
It always sounds so threesome-y.
They could be fucking. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with this woman? Tori, speak to us.
Yes.
Tell us what's happening. Come on the podcast. We need to listen. Sheena's mom sides with Sheena. Brock says that Sheena surrounds herself with yes people, which is also, well, shut the fuck up, Brock. She's talking about her OCD and her depression, scared, leave her kid with someone. It's just like, how about you shut the fuck
up? He's got family advice.
He really does. Also, I get it. You want to wear shit that always shows off your calves. Yeah. This man's calves are fucking all over my TV. Shut the fuck up. Shut it. Wear some pants and shut the fuck up. I'll say it. And then we're back in Burbank with James and Allie. Schwartz brings them another plant, an African milk tree plant. He's so depressed that he doesn't have a home. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't have his own mortgage. He says that he twists the knife. He has a studio in NoHo now, NoHo Arts District. And being with fucking James and Allie reminds him that he has no home. He just has new shoes, some bad suits. He has half of a job. It's very depressing. Anyhow, Schwartz is there because Allie is giving him an astrology read. She's starting a new business.
We know what that's like.
We know what that's all about. We haven't personally had a read with Allie, but she did read the Chateau Marmont, special that our other podcast, Ghost Town, did. I do less screaming on that podcast. Excuse me. I will say. But she was a delightful guest on our podcast.
Yes,
I really,
if
like,
you want
made
to check
that
out. Yeah. The dark history of the Chateau Marmont, I
That's
think it's
right.
called. Allie is in one of the episodes, so you can check that out.
Yeah, and the Notorious Shedding
Yeah, 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 the Notorious. I don't know, we have so
many. It's Halloween. It's around Halloween. Yeah. It's really close to...
But it was very, very interesting. So to hear her talk about it, it was like, oh, I had a little bit of familiarity with it.
Yeah, I know. It was good, and she's very good at it.
We got to get ours read, though.
I know.
My wife, Michelle, you should get yours read. I feel like you would get a lot out of it. So, see what happens.
I think she was... I cannot say nicer things about Allie. She was an absolute delight. Mm. You know, she didn't have to fucking
hang out with us afterwards.
She didn't have to hang out with us. She didn't have to respond at my text. She was just an absolute delight. And I hope she fucking blows up. I hope she's like, I hope that we won't be able to afford her.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yes. We're very rich right now, so.
I hope eventually we won't be able to afford her, but we can sneak in before she absolutely blows up. Allie says that Schwartz is the most Libra in a chart she's ever seen. I'm a Libra. Libras, they're people pleasers. He takes offense to this, even though it's absolutely true. That's why he should take offense. Meanwhile, during all this, James gets a text from Sandoval inviting him to his birthday. James inexplicably says that instead of going off on Sandoval, he's, oh, maybe I'll pop by for an hour, which is so chill.
I think he wants to be, you know what I mean, still his... closest to him. I don't know.
His big brother.
Yeah.
Not the text I thought he would send, but okay.
I'm telling you, role model.
Touche. Speaking of parties, Anne is now decorating for the night ahead. It's a tiny little row of baby balloons in pastel Easter colors. And Tom says it's giving me baby shower vibes. Anne says, oh, thank you.
But it's to indicate a party. It's not for a party. It's just to say, like, yeah, there's a party that could be here.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. There's a
suggestion.
Note. Yeah. There's a memory that parties exist in this house. And here it is. We see take the Lego painting down. Take it the fuck down.
It's become this thing that's just, they just kind of harken back to like center you.
No, it's fucking insane. Ariana and Katie are doing their makeup for Emo Night. Allie and James are headed to Tom's. Allie says this is a horrible idea. She's right. James wants an apology. He's going to get half of one. At the party, Sandoval's in white flood pants, about to eat some mushroom chocolates, and his employee/friend, Kevin, asks if he just has regular chocolate. He doesn't.
Is that Jason?
Yeah.
Is that Kevin?
No, I thought it was Kevin.
Oh, it's Kevin?
Kevin. One of the large white men
that
he surrounds himself with.
Okay.
He's, oh, I have mushroom I'm not drinking enough mushroom chocolates. Yeah. And Kevin, cool, do you have chocolate?
Yeah.
And he's, oh, man.
It's like, great. And there's like small hummus and four chips.
I was going to make mention, the chips are not nearly filled up for a party.
It's a suggestion of a party. It's an indication
of
one.
It's like the party has already ended, but we've just begun. He offers up a soda stream. When was the last time you were at a party? You're like, yeah, God, I wish I could have some man-made soda from a soda stream. I wish I could
artisanal
have
soda,
fucking,
please.
A gross soda stream that you could make me like a unflavored, not enough off-brand cola.
And if there's not enough CO, you would have tasted flat.
Fucking gross. That's so gross. Then Kyle Chan rolls up with tequila. Billy Lee rolls up. And more of Tom's employees shuffle in. It's like a board meeting.
A lot of it is, again, it looks like either AI, because there's a lot of similar outfits and a lot of just similar looks.
Yeah, it is. And they're all just milling about. Meanwhile, at Emo Night, everyone's looking good. Mm-hmm, I love the boots. I love the army vibes.
Yeah.
The guys that run the Emo Night are absolutely the guys from the fucking studio. In my mind, they're not. But they're disgusting.
They look like they came from summer camp.
Yeah, they're
like,
slick,
guys,
with sweat.
What's with the jean shorts?
Yeah.
That's not...
No.
Like, I don't know what...
No, the vibe is you went on a 7-minute jog over here in denim. And your buttons and their names are TJ and Morgan. And
what are those? Those ringer tees?
Oh, God. Which, again, it's very 70s, if anything. It's not really emo. So they're there. They make their presence known as Ariana's getting a vodka Red Bull, which I'm like, all right, that's emo. All right, we're getting there. And she
that's some 2005.
I think they look great.
They look great.
Yeah, they're fucking nailing the emo fun. Back at Tom's birthday, Mark, Tom's vocal coach, is there. He is flirting.
Do you know how? So we do on the History Channel. We do various shows, and they we've done a bunch of them, and the lower third for us, they just eventually kind of run out of stuff.
Yeah.
It's always like
it's a mix of
podcast host, ghost town pod,
true
host
crime,
podcast, crime quizzes,
historian. Yeah.
Yeah. History pod. Yeah. They run out of things. But this one, they couldn't even, it was just like, he couldn't even say friend.
No.
It's Tom's. Is that on purpose for snark, or is it more interesting to be like, oh, Tom, remember, Tom is a musician and he has, mm-hmm. he needs a vocal coach. Mm-hmm. Is it that, or because friend seems better? Vocal yeah. coach seems like somebody paid to be there.
Also, we see them for literally 3 seconds. Yeah. Why do we need this lower third to begin with? He doesn't come up again,
yeah.
at least that we know of. But like, why? Or was he like, I'll be on this, but you have to say vocal coach?
We've done that.
But we can't. You yeah. can't really do that. That's yeah. the thing. It's like you can stipulate all you want, but you can't. You can, I guess you could like make a big stink about it. We don't really, because yeah.
nobody
like
listens
that.
To us. Yeah.
yeah we're irrelevant, yeah. I would say. But so we've got Tom's vocal coach there. And again, it doesn't do anyone a service, except if you're like looking up vocal coach like, and you love Vanderpump and you're like, huh,
where's Mark?
I need
it's
Mark.
It's just Mark.
I need Mark. But Mark is busy trying to fuck somebody. Schwartz arrives with eye makeup on. He got Tom a cake. Everyone got Tom a cake, but where are the chips?
Yeah, there's 6 of them. So divvy them up.
I know. His cake says happy 40th again.
Yeah, check this out. It's so funny. He made a thing.
New
and
cake.
I was like, oh, it's just like a typical, like you'd see on a t-shirt
yeah.
that you get, like, or any lame card. It wasn't like some zany inside thing.
No, it's just like, and it's also like you're not on good terms with each other, really. So like you doing a snarky joke like happy 40th again is not hitting, I would imagine. I don't know. It's like, just fucking get that cake out of there. They're going to get cake all over those flood pants, and he's not going to like that. Anyway, James arrives. He arrives at the party. Allie waits in the car like an animal.
I'm not surprised she didn't go in, mm-hmm. but I was surprised.
Line.
Yeah, no, and I thought, and he just parked, I don't know where, he just parked right on the lawn.
Right in there, just right. He actually crashed and then just like,
yeah, I was like, where is the parking? Right on the mailbox, yeah, I guess?
Exactly. I'm worried that James will leave Allie in the car without the windows rolled down.
Yeah.
Leave her some oxygen. I don't know how long you're going to be in there. Nobody knows. Well, we do know.
We
eventually.
Do know. Yeah.
Not long.
Not long.
Not long, bitch. James goes in there, and James is probably the funniest line of the whole thing, where this is a real who's who. Who the fuck are you people?
So.
How is James our, like, Greek chorus?
He's almost speaking for, it represents the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it only gets awkward from here.
The one guy who said, I can't believe Hades icing me out.
Yeah, this guy. So first of all, though, he's like, hey, I want to chat with you. And Tom's like, yeah, just give me a minute. This guy named Brett who also gets everyone here gets a lower third. Everyone here gets one. Talks to James about how Katie's icing. You're just like, oh, you're just a hanger-on. Yeah.
Now, would I have done that? Probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And if you're going to do that, why would you complain to James about Katie icing you out?
Yeah, it seems far removed in a couple of different ways.
Yeah, it's so weird. This guy seems fucking annoying as fuck, too. James barely is looking at it. James cannot conceal how much he does not want to talk to this guy. In another part of the party, Tom, on the other hand, is talking some sexy party talk about his old knees. those sad chips. It's like, this is like hell. This is like so many people's hell. Or heaven. It's
yeah,
our heaven.
Depending, yeah.
But if you were like a person who didn't know Vanderpump and you were there,
yeah.
you'd be like, first of all, I'm drinking SodaStream. The host is sober. I've got these sad hummus and pita chips.
Yeah, you either got to eat a whole cake
yeah.
or dosed chocolate.
Exactly. James is pissed. He goes into the grabs Tom Sandoval, goes in the living room to talk with him. And they talk, which is also, it's a weird talk to have at a birthday party. But of course, this is Vanderpump Rules. This is where you have these kinds of talks. He says, I feel like a big brother to me has gotten lost. And James says he expected a text. Tom apologizes. He says he was very overwhelmed, says he was sorry that he was not reaching out. And then James says, are you sorry for betraying me?
Well, also, he's like,
the
he's
ultimate
like,
I've betrayal.
You, I've seen you like on Instagram all the time, kicking yeah. it and partying.
Your so, abs, your sweaty abs.
Yeah,
all over
so
the place.
You have 30 seconds to text once.
Yeah, which not wrong. Tom is like, if there was a reaction that was those 3 ellipses that you do in your text,
yeah.
that's his reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, James says, yes or no answer. And Tom says, well, you do that shit with Kristen. And James is out. You can't challenge James like that.
But also, yeah, it's like you did, like, I don't know, it's like you did the, it's like getting pulled over, how to explain it, but just because I did something like that to you once a long time ago doesn't make what you did wrong.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't work. Things don't work like
that. What about Izzo? Yeah. Which, again, I think it is fair. I think what James did to Tom Sandoval was shitty. Yeah. I think that that is true. I believe he's apologized for that, and I believe Water Under the Bridge after that point, years after that point. But of course, now Tom Sandoval doesn't want to be held culpable for anything, so he's bringing that up as a thing that has already been put to bed.
That's the case. Anyone can cheat on anyone in this show, and nobody could say anything because everyone has had their indiscretions, and they can't function like that.
Yeah. So Tom brings that up. James is not having it. Tom says that James won't take accountability, but he did 10 years ago. He literally did at the reunions, via many long talks that you guys have had after this. This is very bullshitty. James leaves, and he, not having that talk at all, he goes, he pisses on a bush. Meanwhile, Allie comes out of the car, great last line. She reminds him that it's also Ariana's bush, too.
But I think Ariana probably would be like, you know what, in this case,
it's
worth it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the episode. Now that we've cashed it out, I like it more. I think it's got so many weird details that I really love.
A lot of the starring things in it are the items. Mm-hmm. You got the sneakers.
Yeah.
You got the little broccoli. You got the cakes. You got the four chips.
Yeah. Oh.
See, it's so weird. Yeah, the things that kind of pepper this thing.
Exactly. Those fun little details. Those little nibbles and knickknacks, I would say.
But still, it hasn't, like, it's like a band. I always think of it as like a band that you want to see, and they're playing the songs. And the first song is supposed to come out with the bang, and it's okay. You know, you're not going to get the hits till later.
Yeah, you
get that. But still, it's kind of like, when are you going to start to something? When's the beat going to drop?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the beat has dropped yet.
Oh, someone's emo nighting.
Yeah, exactly.
Right
now. Yeah. Wow, I got my denim shorts on.
The beat has dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree with you. I'm liking this more and more as we've hashed out the weirdness of it. I really appreciate the details of Vanderpump in general, and we've got a bunch of them here. So
didn't see a lot of Katie. I feel like we didn't get a lot of Katie.
We didn't
this episode.
We didn't. We didn't get a lot of Katie. We didn't get a lot. We got some Lala. Yeah,
we got some Mark.
Thank God we had Mark. Yeah, and that's the episode for this week.
That's the episode for this week. Our Instagram, I changed it because it was the name was a little too long. Mm-hmm. It's Vanderpocalypse now, but it's at VPR now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, my boyfriend was like, who did our design for the podcast? He spelled it wrong. He's never spelled it right.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
It is a weird word.
Yeah, Vanderpocalypse. I mean, it's fucking deranged.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but it's also, it is what it is. But we're going to try to make it easier for you along the way.
Yes. So it's VPR now. Please subscribe. Give it 5 stars. Who cares? Do it out of spite. Give us a spiteful 5 stars.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous and kind of sexy. This one's for you.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.